Good morning. Let us pray. Well, Heavenly Father, we thank you again for our Lord Jesus Christ and his victory over the grave and over sin and over death. And we pray that this morning, through the power of your Holy Spirit, you would build faith in our hearts. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. O death, where is your sting? In the traditional funeral service, just before all the people gather around the grave and the body is lowered down into the ground, these famous words from 1 Corinthians are read. And in some ways it might seem cruelly ironic that a minister would proclaim, "O death, where is your sting?" at such a time. Because surely death's sting is right in front of the congregation as a farewell yet another friend or a family member, and bury them in the earth. Death is the ancient and terrible enemy of human beings, and we're captive to its power. It's been said that there are two universal human experiences, death and taxes. However, of course, the rich and the powerful of the world can outrun and escape their taxes, but nobody can escape death. One of the hardest things I've ever had to do is visit people in hospital, just sometimes a few hours after they've been told that they're going to die. I had to do this often in my training as a minister. When I spent one summer as a chaplain in one of the big cities in the big hospitals in the city. And when you're a chaplain, each morning you have a meeting in the chaplaincy department, and they give you a list of all the patients in the hospital that have been made palliative overnight. And that's when the decision's been made by the doctors and the family that, you know, to no longer actively treat a patient's medical condition, and instead to try and make them as comfortable as possible for their remaining time on earth. And it was part of my job to walk into these people's rooms and say hello and see how they were coping. And in that summer, I met some really incredible people, but it was such a hard job to do that because of the really heavy sense of impending loss that was sometimes in people's rooms. And you know, the tragedy as family members would come into the hospital and gather to say goodbye. And just kind of the raw sadness of grief and death as another person dies. Death is awful. Death is unfair. And it seems wrong. There's something deep within us that yearns to live. To be human is to be alive. But sooner or later, death comes to us all. And my friends, it was never meant to be like this. We were not created to die. Human beings were created by God in his image, and God is eternal. We were created by God to live. And this is why death is such a tragedy and it feels so wrong to us as humans. God did not create us to die. But death became a part of the human experience when human beings rejected God. In the story at the very beginning of the Bible, God created the heavens and the earth, and he created the first human beings, and God lived with them, you know, face to face, in harmony. In the Garden of Eden. And God told our ancestors, he said, "You are free to eat from any tree in the garden, but you must not eat from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. For when you eat of it, you will surely die." The cause of death is sin. Sin being what the Bible calls rebelling against God or rejecting him or rejecting his rule over the earth. God warned our most ancient ancestors that death would follow their sin. But you remember the story? Adam and Eve disobeyed God. They tasted of the knowledge of good and evil, and rebelling against God, sin entered into them and sin entered into the world. And following sin came death. God, our creator, is the source of all life. And God is perfectly holy and perfectly righteous. And sin or unrighteousness cuts us off from God. And thus, with the first humans, their sin cut them off from the source of all life. And so eventually, separated from God and his life and his goodness and his holiness, they died. And every human being since has followed in their footsteps. In the next phase of the Bible storyline, as you go through, it's an unfolding tragedy. As sin, which now has a hold upon the heart of humanity, escalates throughout human history. Human beings became ever more violent. They became ever more greedy. They became ever more selfish, ever more destructive. And like Adam and Eve, the human beings that followed also all died. They were enslaved by their sin to the tyranny of death. Yet still, God loved humanity, and he didn't turn his back on us. God reestablished contact and relationship with human beings, and he did that through his people of Israel. And with his chosen people, he made it clear to humanity how we were to live. He did this when he gave his people the law. And following God's law meant, you know, walking righteously the way God designed us to live and living without sin. But through the law came the terrible realization of sin's overwhelming hold over the human heart. Because try as we might, we can't shake sin. And by knowing God's law, by knowing clearly spelt out what he requires of us, how we were designed to live, by knowing the law, humanity just became more aware of our corruption. And more aware that we're not strong enough to free ourselves from sin and its power. You know this is true in your heart if you've ever, you know, tried to live well, or those around you have, you know, tried to live well, but you just find yourself again and again falling short and missing the mark. And you know this is true just by looking at at the news, like, check your news feed on your phone. At the moment, you'll see, you know, everything from, you know, our nation's absolute idolization of sport and what that's made the national cricket team do, and everyone's feeding on the frenzy of the news cycle about that. And then you'll see things like former spies trying to be assassinated in Britain, and then just the never-ending war that's, you know, all around the world, and you know, rising tensions on the Korean Peninsula, and the way we human beings live is not right. And it was the same for all the greats of the Bible. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, Moses and Aaron, King David, King Solomon. They all sinned. They all fell short of following God's laws. And they all died. Yet still, God did not turn his back on humanity, whom he loves. And he still desires that fellowship and that closeness and that righteousness that we had with him way back in the Garden of Eden. And so Jesus, God in the flesh, came down from heaven and came into our world. And Jesus taught us how to love one another. He showed us in himself what it was actually like to live without sin. And he came to end evil and injustice as God's rightful king. But how did humanity respond? We ignored him. We despised him. And we killed him. The consequence of our rebellion against God was death. And when God, in his mercy, came to us, humanity, instead of changing its ways, gave death to God. Surely the crucifixion of Jesus was the final victory of death, a final rejection of God and his law by a sinful humanity utterly enslaved to sin and death. But no. The message of Easter Sunday is no. Because dying on the cross, Jesus did for us what we could not do ourselves. He defeated sin. The consequence for all who sin is death. This was so for Adam, the first man, and it is the same for you, and it is the same for me. But Jesus, the one who is without sin, who lived perfectly righteously, who had righteousness and holiness, this Jesus died on the cross in your place for your sin, paying the penalty for your sin so that you can walk away and not have to pay for it yourself. At that moment on the cross, Jesus sacrificed himself for you so that you could be free of the consequences of everything wrong that you've ever thought or said or done. He defeated sin, and he defeated sin's hold over the human heart. But that's not the end. Because by destroying the power that death has over us, which is sin and its consequences, Jesus also defeated death itself. And thus death could not hold him down. Having defeated sin and the power of death on the cross, Jesus rose again to new life. His tomb was empty. And this is what we celebrate today. His glorious resurrection and his victory over death. And God offers this victory to you through Jesus Christ. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. If you trust in Jesus and turn to him in repentance and faith, you will be forgiven by God of all your sin and made righteous in his sight. And where there's freedom from sin, there is also freedom from death. As it says in 1 Corinthians, in that famous chapter that we had read out before, when the perishable has been clothed with the imperishable and the mortal with immortality, then the saying that is written will come true. Death has been swallowed up in victory. Where, O death, is your victory? Where, O death, is your sting? The sting of death is sin. And the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, he gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. This Easter Sunday, join Christ's victory over sin and death. Put your trust in the risen Lord Jesus. Pray to him. Perhaps, maybe for the first time in your life, you feel the call of his Spirit in your heart. If so, respond. Tell him you want the forgiveness of sins and the eternal life that he won for you on the cross. And join with God's people, the church across history and across the earth, who, resting in Christ's victory, can together say, O death, where is your sting? The reason Christians declare, O death, where is your sting, at funerals is because we know that death no longer has any hold on those who trust in the promises and the power of Jesus Christ. And on the last day, which is coming soon, when Christ will return, along with all the faithful church, you will be raised, imperishable, immortal, and you will live with God and his people forever. As it says near the very end of the Bible story, in the last book, Revelation, in the New Jerusalem, when God will once again dwell among his people, it says that he will wipe every tear from their eyes. There will be no more death, or mourning, or crying, or pain, for the old order of things has passed away. On this Resurrection Sunday, to our risen Christ be all the glory. O death, where is your sting? Let us pray. Oh, Heavenly Father, on this day when we remember the glorious work of Christ, we are sorry for our rebellion against you and your law and your good and righteous rule. And we are sorry for the evil in our own lives and the evil and the mess that we have made of your earth. We thank you for your mercy and your kindness and your grace. We give you great praise and thanks for Christ's victory over sin and death on the cross. And in the name of Jesus, we ask that you would please forgive us and cleanse us of all our sin. Please fill our hearts with your Holy Spirit. Please make us holy and righteous, and please give us Christ's victory over death, so that in him we may too declare, O death, where is your sting? In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.